Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rights Radio, your independent voice. I'm your host, Dr. Joyce Starr, and Rights Radio is brought to you by StarrPublications.com and, of course, by RightsRadio.com, where consumer, economic, homeowner health, and security rights have a permanent address. We're also pleased to announce RightsUniversity.com, the first self-empowerment university on mobile apps, and I'm joined today by my Rights University co-founder, Joe Stallard. Hi, Joe. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Joyce. It's great to be here.
Our topic today is news overload and chronic stress. We're all feeling it. Bad news, chaotic news, terrifying news, indiscernible news, hitting us daily with the force of a tornado. We can barely recover from the news that senators plan to vote on a health care bill without reading it. What could that possibly mean for the future of democracy? When we learn that Florida hospitals plan to deny care to those suffering from late-stage cancer and terminal illnesses if the state is hit with an H1N1 pandemic. But the stock market keeps accelerating and Wall Street brokers are receiving the biggest bonuses in years because, after all, we gave them the stimulus money to play with. And we should send 40,000 more troops to Afghanistan. No, we should bring all the troops back home. Should the White House be attacking an independent news outlet because they don't like what they're reporting or saying? Are we on the verge of losing the right to free speech, or is the attack on Fox News just another distraction? It's nearly impossible to make sense of it all. Fatigue sets in. People put up mental walls to protect themselves. They can't listen. They can't hear themselves think. And they don't even know what to think. So, Joe, is this all accidental, or could it possibly be planned? Has news overload become a masterful weapon to turn the people into sheeple?
Joyce, you ask a very provocative question there. Whether or not it's a planned operation to try to turn the people into a bunch of mindless lemmings or not is a topic that's up for debate. And I'm sure that everybody's got their own viewpoint on it. But one thing that we can all agree on is that right now we're faced with one of the biggest news overload, stress-inducing syndromes we've probably ever seen.
You're absolutely right about that. It's never happened before. I've never felt it this way. Have you?
No. There have been some times down through my personal history when I may have become a little bit anxious or a little bit edgy about the news, but not to the point that it's taken place today. It seems that what we see and what we hear from all the news media that's feeding us today is not only just something that's going to make us a little anxious, but it really induces a lot of personal stress for people.
How do they respond? What should people do? Because after all, as we've discussed, you want to be informed. You want to know what's going on. With all of the commercials between these news information overload sessions, it can take up to 4 or 5 hours to find out what's really happening in the world.
I understand that exactly. And it's kind of hard to address what everybody should do. I think the best thing that I can offer at this point is something that I found that works for me. And basically what I've done is I have taken to watching the news for about 15 minutes every day, and the rest of the time, I don't even tune into the news channels. I've decided that I'm entitled to a vacation from the news and the stress. It's just like working at a stress-filled job. If you don't take a break, if you don't get away from it, and if you don't get yourself refreshed, it'll drive you into the wall.
All right, but in 15 minutes, as we've just discussed, sandwiched between commercials, how can you get the bigger picture of what's happening in the world? Because depending on the 15 minutes you tune into, you might be hearing yet another soliloquy about the balloon boy or something that is so unrelated to our lives and to the real key issues that we're all facing today. I think we've really heard enough about the balloon boy, don't you?
It turns out, Joyce, that when I watched the news yesterday, the short segment that I did watch happened to be all about the balloon boy and his family. So as a result, I've learned a lot more about that than I ever want to learn. And just to give you an example, on another occasion when I watched the news, it had to do with the war in Afghanistan. Basically, what I've decided to do while I'm on this vacation is, no matter what the story is about, as I get ready to turn it off, I just say, that's very interesting, and go ahead and hit the off button. And I'm trying to focus myself to the point where I don't have this need to find out everything that's going on in the world.
With our rights under siege, with the health care debate that's going on, you almost feel, and I think people do feel, they call me and tell me that they feel like their country is slipping away. The emotional feeling is they need to know what's going on because they don't know what right they're about to lose next. And they want to at least know that it happened to them at the time that it took place. And yet, that very process is, as we said, making people quite depressed, sick, stressed, etc. So how do you stay tuned to what's happening to you so that you can then tell your children or your grandchildren, yeah, I was there when I knew it was happening?
You raise a real interesting point there. We may be going through a period in time when our rights are under constant assault.
In our country, there's this constant ebb and flow. We'll see things happen that we're very unhappy with. We'll see our rights trampled upon. And then we'll have a new administration that tries to restore some of this. The sad part about it is we never seem to get everything back that's lost. The good news is, at least we've got some hope that things can change.
Yes, I understand. For example, let's say that we get a health care bill that the majority of people don't like, and right now the majority are against the current proposed legislation, such as it might be. We're not sure what it really is. But I understand that even so, it wouldn't go into effect till 2013. So there would be a chance to roll it back or cancel it. I'm not quite sure how all that would work. But is that something to hope for? If we don't like it, we can stop it?
Well, I think that's the only hope that we've got right now. If this does get forced through and forced upon us, like you said, the majority of people are absolutely opposed to any type of government intervention in our health care. It's going to take some pretty bold people to come into office and then repeal the whole thing. My biggest concern is if it does get put into place, even if we've got somebody who is looking to reform the system, there's still going to be pieces of it out there. And that's my biggest concern.
We're talking now about the health care bill, but we're actually also talking about all the noise because there are so many changes that are being thrust upon us at one time. Cap and trade, health care, change in our rights of free speech, really. Do you have hope that we'll be able to get a handle on it if we don't like the outcome? Maybe over time we will, but right now it doesn't feel that way.
No, I have to agree with you. It sure doesn't feel that way. And it's going to take a pretty major movement on behalf of the people of the country, electing the right sort of people into Congress, people that aren't afraid to take on the system, people that aren't afraid to buck the big money that's behind most of this.
They have our money, Joe. They don't even need outside money. After all, as we mentioned about the stock market, why is the stock market going up? Because we poured money into the banks and the brokerage houses, basically, that are owned by banks or connected with banks. We saved them all. And now they're getting the biggest fat bonuses. They're using the money that we gave them to prop up the market, or in some cases to push it right up where it doesn't deserve to go up, or to levels that it doesn't deserve to see. realistically. So, and they've only used a portion of our money to do that. There's still a lot of it left that hasn't been utilized. In fact, it appears sometimes that they can't even find ways to spend it. Yesterday we heard, if I understood it correctly, and I didn't really get a clear handle on it, that they're going to use several million dollars to pay for beauty school training. That might not have been one of your 15-minute clips. you might have missed that one, but that's what I think I heard.
No, I think I missed that one. And from the sounds of it, I'm kind of glad that I did. Okay.
Yes, but still, if they have to use $3 million for beauty school training when so many people are out of work, well, we know that more men have been laid off than women. So women are now becoming, in increasing proportions, the major bread earner for the family. I don't know how long that goes on. I don't know how long it is before the women start getting laid off in equal numbers. But nonetheless, if you're the major bread earner and you were, yesterday it was all equal, or your husband was bringing in more and you were tending to the kids and now he's tending to the kids and you're trying to be the multitasker, well, that certainly adds to the stress, doesn't it? And now you hear that a couple of million bucks were used to train kids to go to beauty school. Good or bad, it hurts.
Well, sure it hurts. Every time they spend some of our money, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense in the way that they spend the money. But that's what our Congress is best at.
So we know that all of this is coming at us fast and furious. We know that we cannot hold on to the speeding bullet. And you're turning off television and you're listening 15 minutes a day. But what do you think the majority of people should do if they feel so nervous about what's happening to them?
Well, obviously, each individual's got to find an ideal way for them to deal with the stress. And if it means they need to take a break for 2 or 3 days, then so be it. For some of us, we may take a break for a week, a month, or maybe even forever. But the point is, this is going to continue to induce a lot of stress and just bring a lot of despair on people. As a result, they need to take a break from it, if just to catch their breath. At that point, once you get yourself recharged a little bit, you can go back into it again. The best advice I'd offer to people is pick your battles carefully. I know that everybody's concerned about all that's going on. And if we try to get involved in everything that's going on, that in itself is going to take us to another level of stress.
And finally, and we're going to close this out now, the biggest stress of all is that you really can't do much about it. If you don't have a tea party at your disposal, or you don't have a blog that people are really driven to, and you don't have an easy way of communicating, and even if you do, you may not get the traffic, and so what? You're still not changing the law or protecting the law. And I think that the most important problem that we face today is a failure of ability to affect the process. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll be with you again next week, same time, same place. And while you're waiting, visit rightsradio.com or starpublications.com. Bye-bye.